All right. Can I have a couple of people help me with the communion? And we will. This is the Holy Communion is something to celebrate. And I'll tell you why. Because we partake of Jesus. We partake of everything good in Him. We partake of His healing. You know, the disciples, He said, "You're going to take my life into you." And they, can you imagine being one of the early disciples that was sitting with Jesus and said, "You're going to take my life into you." This is the guy that walked on water. I mean, they seen this guy raise the dead. They seen him heal lepers. They seen him cause the deaf to hear, the blind to see. They seen him miraculously multiply food to feed multitudes of people off of sack lunches. And he said they're going to take his life into them. Wow. Paul said he told us to discern the body of Christ. The bread signifies the body of Christ, represents the body of Christ. And in this bread, you'll look and notice that this bread has been beaten flat. He was beaten and bruised for us. He was beaten so severely. And it was for us. He was wounded for our transgressions. This bread has stripes in it. And it's by His stripes that we were healed. He paid for our healing. Right there when He was getting whipped. You look at this bread, it's been pierced. He was not only pierced on the cross, but he shed His blood all over the place. Everywhere that He shed His blood, He got some redemption for us in some area. And if you look, this bread is slightly burned. That means the full wrath of God's fiery judgment was laid on Jesus when He got on that cross. He took all of our sins. He took everything bad that we deserved, and He gave us everything good that He deserved. He traded it straight across. Somebody told me one time, said, "That's not fair." And I said, "No, that's not fair, but that's grace." Amen? And His body was broken for us. And we take this for our healing. We take it for our well-being and our health. And you may ask me why I don't ever ask you to ask God to forgive you your sins when we do this. Because He already did that 2,000 years ago. When He shed His blood, when He shed His blood, it washed away our sins. His shed blood paid for the sins of the world. All of them, past, present, and future. Somebody asked me, said, "How could He pay for my future sins?" Well, unless you were standing at the cross when Jesus got on there, every one of your sins was a future sin. He paid for it. Not only does His shed blood wash away our sins, it makes us the very righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We're in right standing with God. Whatever was wrong between us and God, when He shed His blood, He made it right. The only thing we have to do is believe that God raised Jesus back to life and say, "Jesus, be my Lord. We thank you for this. Praise God. Praise God. That's God's medicine for us. That's God's medicine for us. You know, if a doctor told you, you got the Mongolian warts and you got 2 weeks to live, but if you take this medicine 3 times a day, if you take it at 6, noon, and 6, you'll live. I bet you every one of the people around would take that medicine at 6, noon, and 6. Amen. But God said, take this often as you will. You could take it morning, noon, and night. You could take it once a week. You could take it once a month. You could take it when you feel like it. Just take it. Amen. But when you do, do it on purpose and release your faith in it so you can receive His blessings for it. Amen? Amen. Oh my goodness. Could you run over and grab my glasses off of the computer, please? No. Have you ever noticed, Happy Mother's Day, by the way. Happy Mother's Day. I just got a little story to tell you about this. There's several women around the country that I've shocked. Imagine that. But moms have one of the highest anointings that you'll ever see on a human being. They have such an anointing for childbirth that it makes them glow. And I've seen this several times. And there's been several times I went up and asked ladies, they said, when is your baby going to be born? And they'd look at me like I slapped them with a wet fish. Said, then they look at their husband, poor guy, say, I told you not to tell anybody. They're sitting there and said, then they look at me like, are you psychic or what? No? I can recognize that anointing on mamas, and I can recognize that anointing on pastors. That anointing is something that I seek. And it's something that I've experienced, and it's something that I look for. You know, I've noticed, I've witnessed to people, and they would be, I would witness to them, and they'd get born again. The next day, they would show up, and they'd have a glow. What happened? That anointing, that life of God, got on the inside of them. And it started changing things. And that's what happens to mamas. That's why they're such a special thing. And here's another thing. The closest example that we have on this earth of the love of God is the love of a mom. I can't tell you how many babies I've seen. These moms will bring them up there and they'd say, look at, and then these women would be saying, oh, that's a beautiful baby. And I'm sitting there thinking, okay. He's blessed. One girl, I don't know, it just slipped out. I said, look, she's got her dad's hairline. She said, she does not. She finally grew some hair, and it all worked out all right. She's beautiful. You know? But mamas, look at that baby. And they're beautiful. They're beautiful in their eyes. And they hold them, and they protect them, and they nurture them, and they take care of them. And that's what God does to us. He loves us unconditionally. You know, I never once seen a mom that was teaching her baby how to walk. And said, on the third try, I said, now I've helped you with this twice. Now you got to get it right and turn them loose. And the kid fall down and they just said, I'm done with you. I've never seen that. They go over, pick them up, trot them along, another couple steps, turn them loose, pick them up, and if they spring any leaks, they fix that. That's what God does to us. He takes us by the hand, and He walks with us. And He teaches us how to walk. And He teaches us how to walk by faith. He teaches us how to do the things in the kingdom. And He doesn't get mad at us when we fail. He dusts us off. Just like a kid, when they crash and burn, they go running to mama fast. Because mama's going to make it all right. We need to learn that lesson. When we crash and burn, we need to run to God. He's going to make it all right. Amen? He's not a mean God. He's a loving God. And He loves us with an unconditional love. Now, if I could have a couple of volunteers to help me hand out these Mother's Day gifts. These volunteers should be about that tall if they want to help. Okay, one of you take the flowers, and one of you take these, and go find all these special moms and give them a gift. I believe church should be fun for everybody. Amen. And I like to get people involved in church. God, He got people involved in church. Jesus certainly got people involved in church. He said, out of the mouths of babes is praise perfected. Amen. We good to go? All right. I got my rib baster. He just checked in with me here. All right. Happy Mother's Day. Amen. Open up your Bibles to John chapter 3, verse 16. Now, we'll continue on with our assignment that we've been on for a little while. And you may think, creative love giving, what's that got to do with Mother's Day? I can tell you personally that when there's a youngster running around that needs help, moms seem to rise to the occasion. Amen. They seem to rise to the occasion. And I've noticed that sometimes that you've heard, thank you, girls. You did a very, very good job. You did a very good job. These moms will rise to the occasion. I've seen them where it, actually you've heard that saying that it takes a village to raise a child. I've seen that. I've seen kids that would wander around. I was one of them. I was a wanderer. You know, my mom passed away when I was 3. My dad was in the oil patch, and I did a lot of wandering around. But there was a lot of moms around town that fed me. I just kind of had me a little circle. Yeah, wherever I landed, there was a mom somewhere that feed me. One mom, bless her heart, she had 12 kids. 12 kids. So one more, she just... It's just, what, she just throw me to the table, feed me too. But John chapter 3, verse 16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's the greatest gift of love that has ever been bestowed, ever. When God sent his only Son, Jesus, to this earth, the one man that was born to die, to come down here and pay our ransom and get us out of debt. Amen. And he paid it completely, 100%. Amen. And he did it willingly, so that we could willingly receive him as our Lord and Savior. Now go to James chapter 2, verse 14. James chapter 2, verse 14 says, what does it profit, my brother, know a man, say he has faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto him, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what does it profit? Even so, faith, if it has not works, is dead, being alone. Yeah, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought by his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise also, was not Rahab the harlot justified by works, when she had received the messengers, and had sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. So the Bible tells us that the just shall live by faith. And once you get born again, you're the just. You get justified freely by his grace. The just shall live by faith. Now the thing about faith is that faith works by love. Faith works by love. Not religious duty, not tradition or habits or practices, but corresponding action to what you believe and profess. So, who in this world could we find to give help to supply to, you know, to bless? See, I already shook a lot of people up. I know there's some people that have been watching on video, and they heard me say from this pulpit that not all the money goes to the pastor. Not all the money goes to the church. There's lots of different places to give. Amen. See, this is about getting you hooked into this blessing. Amen. One place you can find is widows. Widows. Widows are very important to God. Yeah? One widow woman, well, you know her, Wanda Adams. I told her, I said, well, God would be a husband to the widow. So one day she called me and she said, well, my husband said you ought to get over here and fix my toilet. I said, okay. this is not an owner to fix her toilet. Well, that did work for her husband. Amen. But God will be a husband to the widow. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 5. Girls, I promise to be patient with me, because next Sunday we will have children's church. Amen. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 3 says, honor widows that are widows indeed, but if any widow have children or nephews, let them learn first to show pity at home and to requite their parents, for that is good and acceptable before God. See, that's been kind of lost in some cultures. Sometimes the children just go far away and they're not close to take care of mom and dad. You know, they're not close to take care of mom. Well, that's where we can step up. Sometimes, unfortunately, some kids are just rat finks and they won't do it anyway. So the mom gets to struggle alone. That's where we step up. God says to honor widows. Bless them. Take care of them. You know, there's lots of ways you can do that. You can go fix something that's broken for them. You can go mow a lawn for them. You can go paint a door for them. You know, sometimes they may need food. You know, sometimes they may need just something simple. You know, sometimes you can even go pay rent for them. There's lots of ways that you can bless widows. Amen? But they are to be taken care of. Amen? One of my favorite widows that I like to bless, her husband was a minister for years and years and years and years. And he went home to be with the Lord. Well, that doesn't mean that her blessings should stop. You know, a lot of people just stopped because he was gone. She's still there. Amen. Still need to bless her. How about orphans? Orphans, that's a good one. I just wish that there's an orphanage in Odessa. I wish it was just a little bit closer here, because we'd have Christmas for the orphans. That is a fun thing. One time, the church that I was going to, the orphanage, they called and said, can you do anything at all? Can you help any way at all? Said, if you can just get them one thing that they need, that would be great. You know, my pastor stepped up to the plate and he said, you tell them to make a list. You tell them to make a list of three things that they need and three things that they want. The lady said, what? Yeah, you tell them to make a list of three things that they need and three things that they want, and then you bring them to church and we'll open presents and then we'll have Christmas dinner. So we gathered up. We started getting money together, and we got some professional shoppers to go out there and start finding these things that they wanted and they needed. You know, they were so happy. They were the people that took care of these orphans, they said, we've never seen anything like this. There was a lot of churches that had access to them orphans. And they got a lot of socks. But they ran into us. And they had MP3 players and they had all kinds of stuff, man. They had it made. It was cool. Amen. Bless them orphans. James chapter 1, verse 27. says, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Visit the fatherless. That's the orphans. You know, they don't get very many chances to be cool. You know, they don't get very many chances to be the center of attention. But Jesus loves them babies. And he wants them to be blessed. And you don't know. This is one thing, I'll never forget this little girl. We had a Oktoberfest, it was during Halloween time, but we'd have a festival and stuff, and then pop balloons and all the little games for the kids. And I seen this little girl, this little blonde-haired girl, her hair was about that long. She showed up and she was playing these games. You want to know where the very next time I seen that little girl? When we had Christmas for the orphans. From a span of October to December, her life got turned inside out. One day she went from having a mom and dad to wondering why she didn't know more. In an orphanage. We need to let our love shine to people like this. Shine to people that are in an affliction. Find these people. Seek them out. Find these people and bless them. Amen? We have a lot to be grateful for. We can visit the fatherless. We can bring relief. And this honors God. Orphans certainly fall into the category of the poor. You know, anytime somebody that's in an affliction and in trouble, anytime they get some relief, they receive it gladly. And they're grateful for it. Amen? Look at Hebrews chapter 13, verse 1. Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. You know, we can bless strangers. You know, there's strangers that show up in town all the time. And we'll get calls, you know. Somebody will say, well, call one of them churches. I don't know what to do for them. Call one of them churches. So they'll call, you know, I'll get a call and I'll go out somewhere and I'll see somebody. And the stories that I hear are some of them are just so far-fetched. It's just, you scratch your head and you just kind of wonder. It's like, well, you know, what do you need? So, well, I'm trying to get home. So, okay, get a bus ticket. Get them a bus ticket. Send them home. You know, buy them some food. You know, they may need some clothes. They may need something, but help them. Bless them. You know, we're in a position to bless. That's part of the church's mission statement, is to help people. Amen? Another one. Look at 1 John chapter 13. 1 John chapter 3. I'm sorry. Yeah, 1 John chapter 3, verse 17. We'll finish up here in a minute, girls, and we'll go eat some baby back ribs. Yep. 1 John chapter 3, verse 17 says, but whoso has this world's good and see his brother have need, and showeth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him. This is talking about Christians helping Christians. Somehow, Alcoholics Anonymous seems to have gotten a better grasp on this than the church. Oddly enough, I spent a lot of time around AA, and I noticed that when somebody got in trouble, there'd be four or five people go find him and stay up all night long with him, drink coffee, feed him. You know, if he needs a coat, whatever. Help him get back on his feet. Help him get back in the meetings. Help him get back going again. But they'd help him. And they were focused on it. And sometimes they'd take shifts. Sometimes there'd be three or four with them during the day. Sometimes there'd be three or four with them during the night. But they'd help him. But they didn't say, "You dirty rat fink. You should have went to your meeting. You should have read your book. You should have did this. You should have did that." No. They stayed with them. They helped them. They picked them up, carried their burden, and helped them out. Sometimes I've noticed in churches that people are your friends until you show a moment of weakness, and then they pounce on you like a pack of wolves. I've seen that too many times in church. Somebody makes a mistake, and they say, "Well, if that had been me, I would have done this." Unless you've been in those shoes, you don't really know how you would have done it, so don't judge. Amen? What we're supposed to do is pray for them and encourage them. Go get them. Bring them to church. Let them know that they are forgiven. Now, God's not mad at them. Yeah, you weaved when you should have wobbled. But look, dude, we got to get back up. We got to go forward. It's going to be okay. Amen? It's going to be okay. So, we have brothers in need. Look at Proverbs chapter 19, verse 17. See, we're finding there's all kinds of places that we can be a blessing. See, that's what our job, one part of our life should be fruitful. That should be our goal, to be fruitful. Not be a fruit. We got too many of those running around, but be fruitful. Proverbs chapter 19 verse 17 says, "He that hath pity on the poor lendeth unto the Lord, and that which he has given will he repay him again." So there's God saying, take care of poor people. He didn't say anything about judging their lifestyle. He said, take care of poor people. You never know. That man might be one step away from a complete life transformation. And you helping him might have given him a strength to take that one more step. I read an account of this soldier. He had come back from Iraq, and he said he was high as a kite all the time. He said he was drunk and high all the time. And he said one day he was walking down the sidewalk, and he said he was just so high he didn't even know where he goes. And he said it literally took one more step, and he said he was completely sober. And he looked across the street, and there was a church. So he walked over to that church, got born again, ended up becoming a preacher. Man, you never know. That man's next step may be a complete life transformation, and you helped him get along. Since we're in Proverbs, look at chapter 28, verse 27. "He that giveth unto the poor shall not lack, but he that hideth his eyes shall have many a curse." There's God. There's showing one more way into having this providence. Help the poor, you're not going to lack. Give to the poor, you're not going to lack. Remember, you've been blessed to be a blessing. So you're just really giving something away that God has already given you. Now, we'll finish up. This is the last verse, girls, and we're going to go eat. It's going to be good. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 9. Second Corinthians, chapter 9, verse 9. As it is written, he is dispersed abroad. He has given to the poor. His righteousness remains forever. That's one of our things. We're in right standing with God because of the blood of Jesus. One thing about our hearts is our hearts sometimes will bug us. We all know when we do something bad, we feel it. When we do something good, we feel it. The Bible talks about it, if our hearts condemn us not, we have confidence before God. Amen. We want to make sure we keep our hearts in good shape. Amen. One way to do that is to help people. That's what Jesus was all about. He went about healing all that were oppressed to the devil. He went about doing good. He went about helping people. He went about helping people that didn't deserve it. He went about helping people. You know, you got to know that when he fed the multitudes by the Sea of Galilee, There was some rat finks in that bunch. There were some bad people in that bunch. But he fed them anyway. He blessed them. Amen? Thank you, Father, for your word. We praise you in the name of Jesus for this opportunity to worship you in spirit and in truth. We thank you, Father, for the Holy Spirit who teaches us and guides us. He shows us how to rightfully divide your word of truth. Each time we take your word in our hearts, it sparks faith because we see the grace of Jesus and faith happens in our hearts. We praise you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.